Republic of Texas Radio. Hey, it's March 5th, 23. Hour two of the show, we were talking a lot about medical stuff, you know, and we're going to talk about other stuff, you know, coming up this hour. Talk a little bit about Ukraine as I just rambled going out. The hell's going on over there? Who cares? Well, we're all going to die, Alan. Did you get the memo?
But you know, the words of that little MMA fighter from Arkansas, you know, keep coming to my mind. He said, no, I have no desire to join the military and go halfway around the world to fight people that have never done me and my family or my friends or, you know, my area any harm. You come and you step, you know, he said, you come to Arkansas and step foot on my soil and start harassing my friends and family, you're going to find the worst freaking enemy you've ever seen. You know, that's my thoughts exactly. This little young MMA fighter, you know, who's a little badass, you know, put it perfectly. You know, I have no desire to go halfway across the planet and fight for a corporation. General Smedley Butler figured that out finally. You know, it's a scam.
It is, you know, but it is happening. And I just wonder, because, you know, we talked about old Chuck Smith, and, you know, his thought that we could be talking about. And I'm down for it. What should we be talking about, right? The fact that Ukraine doom is up and Iran doom is up and Israel doom is up, you know, the Israeli. Dude, Alan,
Don't talk bad about Israel, Steve. Damn it. I'm a good Christian Zionist.
You know, I love
just like Mike Huckabee.
TV station. Yeah, I love this one TV station. It's the totally sold out, 24?
Steve, don't you want to help the poor starving Ukrainian Jews, Steve? Come on. they look so pitiful on that commercial. Oh, my God.
I get tired of people begging me. I really do, but I don't know that commercial. I haven't seen it. People have told me about, and I've heard.
Oh, it'll make you throw up in your mouth. I mean,
yeah, I've heard radio ads on, you know, commercial radio, and they're going, "I am Ukrainian, and we are being attacked by Russians, and we must kick their butts. So give us money and whatever." It's like, dude, really? Are you a flim flam man like my hospital here in town? Yes, most likely. You know, one of those things about the flim-flam man, the hospital in town, Alan, is it's being run by these people called that have MBAs, right? And I've never really respected that, the Masters of Business and Administration. Now, that was invented sometime in the early 1900s over at Harvard and then pushed out in mass scale by a group called Massachusetts MIT, Institute of Technology, right? There's lots of stuff that gets leaked to America through MIT, and the MBA was leaked to America through. And what did it do? It told us that a person in a university can be taught this framework and he could run any business, right? We had a problem in World War II when they unleashed this on an unknowing public. They said, okay, well, we got these MBAs, and now that we're done with World War II, we're going to take the manufacturing base and change it from making tanks and guns and bullets into making things that you guys can buy. Like refrigerators and like toasters and radios. And
but what are all the chemical industries going to do after the war, Steve? They can't make nerve gas and bombs and stuff anymore. So we've got to support them. So now we have artificial fertilizers and everything else, which, you know, like ammonium nitrate, you know, you can make info out of it if you know how to do it and set it off and blah, blah, blah. But yeah, better living through chemistry, Steve. After World War II, that's when that really kicked into high gear. And what happened afterwards? Cancer rates started skyrocketing along with everything, the weaponization of everything began, you know, shortly after that. You know, it was the good war, and the American dream was attainable for a decade or two after that. And then, you know, the middle class grew and people were, you know, you could have, you know, one person working and have two cars and have a house and raise a family. And then it became commercialized. And no, that ain't going to happen no more. And the American dream vaporized.
Sure, that's exactly where I'm coming from. And, you know, the fascinating thing with that is the millennials nowadays are really kind of like weary of their predecessors, the baby boomers or the greatest generation, right? They're like, oh, those guys. But they love the MBA. The master's
enthrall.
I'm going to get my degree, and I'm going to get my degree for free, and I'm going to make all sorts of important decisions, and I'm going to climb the ladder.
Steve, you know, you're talking about education in the medical industry. It's like, you know, used to be the doctor would talk to the patient, try to, you know, ask them questions, try to figure out individually what was wrong with this person and the best way to treat it. And now you have doctor-patient liaisons that go to college, you know, to be a doctor-patient liaison. It's like, why can't the doctor talk to the patient? You have to have a liaison to go in between? I mean, what the hell?
Patient, that's terrible. The patient said, ow, doctor. Oh, my God. Let's go back to the phones real quick. And 512-248-8252. You can distract us from the show today if you want to. Or we can just keep going. But we're gonna go to Lynn. Lynn out in Maryland. Hello. Good morning.
Good morning, Texas. Y'all are
kinda
wonderful.
Like
thank you. And thanks, Sam. Let's have a celebrate and be grateful
Sam. Here for RBN.
I do appreciate Sam, as we all do, you know, the guys that keep everything running here for our RBN family. Yeah.
Yeah, he does a great job. And, Alan, I've really appreciated listening to your program on Sunday afternoon. So thank you for that. And, Steve, I just appreciate you on Sunday morning. I wanted to share a couple things. If you didn't hear, the lady's name's Ingrid, right? Ingrid? The lady
Ingrid.
With vaccination, whatever. She had
Ingrid
Martin
Cassett,
Paul on last night, so if you haven't heard it, listen to it. And if anybody wants to, because the thing I didn't say and I've thought about, if anybody questions the health effects of wireless, go buy one of those cheap plants at the grocery store in a plastic pot, you know, little one. Set it in front of your router or put it in front of your phone, you know, wherever you set your phone down, if you keep your phone with you. You know, rather than your body parts on your belt, not a good idea, man. But or women, nurses in the hospital have their lanyard, you know, right between their boobs, and not a good idea. It's just not a good idea. Radiation, folks, but put a plant in front of it, and you'll see as that plant dies. And remember, we used to be able to. Plants thrived on top of the TV. Now, the TV didn't do well if you actually watered the plant and spilt water into the TV. That could be a problem. But the plant thrived. But what I was going to tell y'all was Jeff Quinn. He was actually on C-SPAN a week ago yesterday on Washington Journal in the morning. But he's going to be on today. On In-Depth on C-SPAN, which is a two-hour program when you can call in, about his book Waco, David Koresh, The Branch Davidians, and The Legacy of Rage. And he actually was very good. I mean, you know, it's about truth. And he's done a lot of research on the book. And I think he read a book. He's written books on other folks like Manson and some other people. But he's an older man and very practical and, you know, like he... There was no reason that had to happen the way it did.
Oh, well, you bring up so many things. I mean, even Charles Manson, you know, his band played at, what was it, the Esalen Institute, which, once again, folks, is one of these think tanks like the Rand Corporation, et cetera, you know, evil. And it's like his band, like the day before the Helter Skelter crap went on, his band played at the Esalen Institute out in California, you know. Was he CIA, mind control, whatever you want to call the project?
Yeah, you wonder, don't you? Well, you know, one of the people that she drove the getaway car, she died this past, or her death notice, obituary was in this week's paper. But, you know, actually, Ted Kaczynski, I actually would love to get a copy of his manifesto, because actually what he was saying. Okay, and I get it was a Unabomber and what he did was wrong, blowing people
right.
up. But he actually had a point, and there was a special on the anniversary on C-SPAN years ago, and it was either the judge, I don't think it was Merrick, I think it was somebody else, but he actually said everybody should read his manifesto because you might find it enlightening. Because what he actually says is don't use the technology.
Right.
There's a reason the guy lived in the woods. He knew. As a child, he'd been in the hospital for a year or something. He was probably experimented on. He was probably part of that whole, what was it,
yeah.
that Monarch program?
Yeah.
Yeah. And now he's in, like, you know, they have that inside place of the Supermax. It's the Supermax where you don't have any contact with anybody.
And Lynn, we'll have people call in and say Ted Kaczynski was an MK Ultra, whatever you want to call it, you know, that whole thing. But you know, but the story presented is exactly what a good friend of mine told me, the smartest person I've ever been around, told me, which is why I don't have a computer or a smartphone, never have, never will. And what do you think my song opening up for my show is? Analog Man in a Digital World. Yes, do I feel a kinship with Kaczynski? Yes. Am I sending out package bombs, whether that was real or not? No, I'm not doing that. But the overall concept of what he said, beware the technology. It's going to take over. It will rule society. You will not be people. You will not have no individual thought or anything anymore. And just look. Everywhere, I get channels across the world, and I see people all the time, like walking along, looking at their smartphone, walking out in the middle of traffic and getting smashed by a bus, or walking off a cliff, you know? We've all seen this stuff, you know? People are just mesmerized. They have no individual thought. They are not living their own lives anymore. They're living in, if you want to say it, is simply, they're living in a matrix.
Yeah. The problem is when they started running VR in the background of all phone screens and internet browsers,
yep.
your brain has no firewall. The problem with deception is you don't know you're deceived. I mean, and you know I believe in the Bible. I know what's coming. And the problem is that, I mean, just look at wacky Christians. They believe the craziest nonsense on the planet. I mean, and it's gotten, you can see it's gotten progressively worse over the past 30 or 40 years. We have two generations of people that have lost 30 to 40 IQ points each generation. Boys' brains are smaller based on that Senate Judiciary hearing 2 weeks ago. But when Josh Hawley said, well, how about if we just make social media illegal before the age of 16, you should have seen everybody in the courtroom freak, the hearing room freak out, including the entire panel with the psychiatrist, the psychologist going, well, no, you can't do that. And I'm like, Wi-Fi out of schools. There's no reason kids need wireless.
Folks, you want to find out how devastating technology can be? You want to lose 30 or 40 points, intelligence points? You know, watch Ace Ventura, Pet Detective. I've got a feeling that most of society's watched that, and that one movie in itself made me lose like 20 or 30 points of IQ. I mean, I swear to God, it's just it's what's being done to us. It's weapon.
Right. Let me ask you a question, Lynn. So, just recently, Waco has become another subject for them to be writing crap about, right? Didn't the Department of Public Safety or something want to have a monument to the officers of Waco or something like that? Because right now, if I do a search on one of the news sites and on Waco, I get current things about, you know, Patriots are mad about Waco still. I'm like, going, what, 3 days ago? Why the hell are they talking about Waco? There must be something.
It was the 30th anniversary of the beginning of it. But why would anybody in the government get a statute or a plaque for that?
Because they won't.
And Lon Horiuchi of Ruby Ridge was there, apparently. These guys are being made into heroes.
That's
for shooting a woman
in the
face,
you want the start of the Patriot movement?
Yeah.
I mean, there you go. because you know what? What they did was wrong. The sheriff had a relationship with David Koresh. They wanted to talk to David Koresh or even serve him with papers. They could have done it without, you know, the whole Homeland Security, whatever it was, ATF, the FBI, and every other. You know, I was thinking about that the other day. Get this. You know how we talk about alphabet agencies? I had an epiphany. Oh, gee. Who's Google now? Oh, yeah. Alphabet. And who feeds AI? You know?
Yeah.
And I mean, and listen to those chatbots. The damn thing wants to have sex with the reporter from the New York Times. I mean, imagine what those things are going to do to our kids. I mean, who've already been dumbed down to about, the level of mental retardation now. They can't write. Now they don't even need to print. They can just talk to their damn devices.
I hate to push hopium, right? But there's a real good chance that our kids won't be tortured by it because they blow the whole world up. So there you go.
But Steve, whether you want to admit it or not, we are animals, and in the life cycle, in the developmental stage of any animal, there's what's called an imprint stage. You can make a chicken think it's a human. I've had a pet fox, but didn't know if it was a human or a Labrador. There's an imprint phase in the life cycle where that basically sets what you will be later on in life. And folks, when you give your children a smartphone when they're 4 years old or 5 years old, and they're introduced to all this stuff, or you send them to a kindergarten or one of these places, what they're imprinted on will basically develop on a large scale. It can be broken, but on a general thing, it's like the imprint stage in your early life cycle develops who and what you are.
Oh, but Alan, what about, let's see, we could do some epigenetic thing on them. And also, we have all this evolution, so we're moving right on into transhumanism.
Yeah.
And we could just look at Kurzweil as our hero.
Yep. Yeah.
Hey, Lynn,
it's definitely
hospital,
a different, very scary world we're living in, Lynn.
That hospital I was telling you about earlier, I don't know if you caught the earlier part of the show Fredericksburg. There's probably about 80 different little rooms. You know, what about those birthing pods that they came out with? You know, they don't have babies or mothers. They can just put pods in them once they get bought out and breed their children there.
It'd be like Brave New World.
Yeah, well, I think they will. You know, kind of.
Conveyor belt thing running. We already have artificial uteruses and artificial sperm. You know, I mean, if you read the 2030 agenda, men aren't pretty much mentioned after about the second page. And in that thing about the oceans have the year for 2032, not 32, but also.
Yeah.
I think y'all are wonderful. Thank you. And also, the government on Thursday, Shane Harris, I heard him on a couple interviews, and he did the article on the front page of the Washington Post. The government did a report about Fanta syndrome and determined it wasn't like anything being caused by like a foreign alien enemy. Except that they don't all agree on that. And Walter Reed's still treating them for that
Walter Reed.
Oh, I'm having tongue twister.
That makes me all warm and fuzzy. Yeah.
You know, and Walter Reed's still treating him, and actually, Antony Blinken, he actually doesn't go along with the report. He knows those people. Now, maybe there are a couple that, you know, had some other illness, but the majority of those 1,000 people, after 6 years of fighting them, how long? What, they took 6 months to do a study and now have a decision? You know, no, they got hurt. They've been hurt. Their lives have been totally altered.
Yep.
Bless your hearts. Thank you. And Rob Sam.
Rob Sam. Lynn, thanks for the call. We'll be back. Republic of Texas Radio.
Thank you so much, guys. Bye.
In times like these, you can't depend on the government to keep you warm and fed, but you can depend on the Vermont Bun Baker to do just that. With a Vermont Bun Baker, you'll never be in a situation where you can't cook, bake, fry, boil water, or heat your home all at the same time. One of the most revolutionary cook stoves, wood stoves ever, the Vermont Bun Baker is available with or without soapstone veneer, a natural stone that retains heat and radiates it back into the room once the fire is out. A beautiful addition to your home, the Vermont Bun Baker has an efficiency rating well above 75% and qualifies for the wood stove tax credit. For more information, watch the Vermont Bun Baker on YouTube and live stream or visit us at www.vermontwoodstove.com. You can also reach us by calling 1-866-SOAPSTONE. Don't ever be hungry or cold because the power's gone out. With a Vermont Bun Baker, all you have to worry about is what's for dinner.
For the past 14 years, it's been my privilege to host the National Intel Report on RBN, to offer a platform to interview exceptional guests, to provoke critical thought, and examine evidence, whether real, fake, or somewhere in between, and allow our audience to call in and participate with your input and questions, in order to help us all reach an educated decision and arrive at our own truth. Our world has changed. It's now been turned on its head. Real is now considered fake, and mainstream fake is now pushed as real, rather than any clear thinking, consensus, or rationale.
Those few remaining beacons of light, the ones still shining through the mainstream media lies, propaganda, and deception, are being viciously attacked at every level through attempts at censorship, threatening advertisers, jailing hosts, and even killing journalists brave enough to speak the truth to you. We are in a war for our very freedom and existence, and through these despicable acts, freedom haters, collectivists, and communitarians have shown they will stop at nothing to blot out these last few beacons of light. Truth is becoming increasingly more difficult to unmask, just as the term unmasking itself is spoken by those usually anonymous sources. They promote their lies, wishing to mask the truths by ignoring it, vilifying it, or conspiratorializing it into a black hole abyss.
Regrettably, RBN has reached the tipping point, and through internal audit and actuarial review, it has now been determined that the only life raft of survival to this network is to go the way of PBS, that being audience supported. Like a cornered animal, the left with veracity is pulling out all the stops with every effort to effectively blacken our beacon forever. Help us, folks. Help yourselves. Don't let our light stop shining. Our motto has always been, because you can handle the truth. It's time to review your budget, folks. If you want the truth to keep flowing through RBN, go to republicbroadcasting.org and become a regular monthly donor of 30, 40, 50, or 100 or more a month and ensure you keep the truth flowing.
Republic of Texas Radio. It's Sunday morning, folks. Short segments. And, yeah, do you hear that last commercial, right? You know, donate to Republic Broadcasting. Yeah, that reminded me of something. It's a big highlight in my life. I've been fighting against this for years. Public Broadcasting has laid off a bunch of people. Woo-hoo! We're winning! Well, I don't know. They're probably replacing them with an AI. But it is nice to watch snowflakes run. But they'll, you know, maybe McDonald's. No, they don't. They're replacing with robots. I don't care where they go. Really, you know, okay.
Well, you know, Steve, you know, I had an interesting experience this last week, Steve. And I know everyone else out there knows what this is, but, you know, and I've heard about it. But, you know, all of a sudden now I've got some new television, and I'm watching and I'm seeing what the world is seeing. I actually got to watch Duck Dynasty, and maybe you have to be. And I understand that they're not just poor rednecks out there. This guy was like a billionaire, you know, stock investor on Wall Street or something. But the show itself and what they present, maybe you have to be a redneck, but I've never laughed so much as I did on Friday sitting here watching Duck Dynasty. Maybe you have to be a redneck, but damn, that's funny. I can see why it was so popular, at least for rednecks.
Never really watched that too much. I'm going to have to
Oh, it's freaking hilarious! I don't care. I don't care if they're all Jews that are doing it. It's kind of like watching Blazing Saddles or something like that, you know, or Spaceballs. It's just funnier than hell. I mean, I haven't laughed so damn hard in years.
That's good. I don't know how to follow that. Anybody watch Duck Dynasty? Well, I don't know. There's just so much. It's frustrating. I want to get rid of CBS. I don't care.
Folks, in my situation, anytime I can laugh in today's world, it's good. I don't care where it came from. If it can make me laugh, I'm more than happy to sit there and laugh. And it hasn't changed my view on the world or anything and hasn't affected me, but I laughed, and laughter is good medicine.
Okay, I can go along with that. You know, I kind of went back and I watched a episode of ALF, A-L-F, and found that was still damn funny.
Yeah.
And enjoy that, let some things go once you know a few things. Like, oh, man, we're under attack. Every single country of this planet, right, are being attacked by the same damn people, the same way. And you can see it. All you have to do is look around. So like Alan says, it is nice to get a little bit of relief and some humor and so forth. But, you know, is that sticking your head in a bucket of sand? I'd say no. Right, because
Steve, it's like I talked about earlier about, you know, about the meme before the pre-internet of Fluffy the cat stuck in a storm drain. You know, in this country, every television, every media was covering Fluffy the cat stuck in a storm drain. You know, and that was pre-internet. What I saw happen when the COVID lockdown started, I was getting channels from across the planet at that point in time, and I saw the same damn thing. The scary, spiky, knobby, weird-colored ball of COVID death was on, within an hour on the same day, was on every channel across the freaking planet. I mean, it was like Fluffy the cat stuck in a storm drain. And when I saw that, I just said, oh my God, they're doing it again. It's just global this time.
Mm-hmm. It went. And then again, you know, what happened during COVID, all the announcers all around the world saying the same damn thing. You're like, oh, crap. We're in trouble. I used
to... Yeah, it's one of those, you want to call it an aha moment? Yeah, it was as soon as I saw that, it was like just the back of my mind went bling. It's like, now I see it. I know exactly what the hell this is going, you know, what's going on here.
Hey, and I wonder what the parrots thought. You know, the parrots, you know,
And the Catalonians, you know, all those revolts and riots got shut down by the COVID.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Brazil, Peru, everywhere was rioting. Yeah.
Yeah, it's crazy. You know how you used to use the satellite TV thing? France 24 kind of fills in and shows me little glimpses of what you used to talk about. Because you see our politicians over in Europe and Africa and so forth doing stuff, and you're like, hey, they're not talking about that over here, because they can talk about that over there, right? And they can give you interesting stuff, but we're not interested in that stuff over here. We have different appetites, and we don't need to know what our politicians are saying to Israel, to the Jews, to the Ukrainians. You know, why does everybody go over to the Ukrainians? Maybe they want a little cut of the pie, you know, but France 24, it gives some of that information that you used to get, and so that I used to see when I'd go over to your place. And, but it is wacko. It's feminist drivel. It's, PBS on, you know, steroids. It is New World Order. It's just horrible. But at least you get to know what they're doing. Man, we're always bumping into brakes. Hang on, folks. Long segment coming up. And,
phones are open.
Yeah. They're not calling today.
Maybe they're mesmerized.
Public Texas Radio.
Good music for You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Tune in Saturday mornings, 8 to 10 Central, to the Alternative Media with your host, Farron. If you've not been listening, this is some of what you've been missing.
2,000 mules. Like you like to say occasionally, Farron, in your face.
They might have a set of lactating mammaries available that could provide milk for their adopted children.
Complicit news media all pulling off this gigantic fraud.
Rhino, neocon, cucks.
There's this wonderful thing that's called Vote with Defeat. Move to California.
I am a conspiracy factualist and everyone else is a reality theorist.
Hundreds, if not thousands, of ships came out of nowhere.
Give me liberty or let's give you death.
Any excuse to go in and kill yourself for this fraud of a government. This goes back 100 years.
When they come for your gold, give them a lead. And when they come for your guns, give them the bullets first. And God help us all.
Are you one of the millions of people who feel like there is a dark cloud hanging over their heads whenever they're using pharmaceutical drugs? For some, the short-term relief can turn into an opioid addiction nightmare. Have you ever wondered why CBD oil is a billion-dollar industry? It's because it works better than opioids and is actually healthy for you. However, CBD oil is stripped of all other helpful compounds found in the hemp plant. According to neuroscientists, the whole hemp plant, otherwise known as hemp paste, is even more effective than the chemically processed CBD oil. Are you ready to take back your health? You can try hemp paste for the price of a cup of coffee.
Hemppaste.com/RBN. Free shipping on orders over $50. See the banners for Hemp Paste at republicbroadcasting.org and visit hemppaste.com/RBN.
Extendivite, a 7-herb combination of garlic, cayenne, hawthorn, bilberry, ginkgo biloba, valerian, and milk thistle. Extendivite is designed to strengthen the heart and arteries and help the body heal itself. Doctors are not able to explain the improvements they are seeing in their patients' health who are taking Extendivite. People who once needed more pills are now taking less and getting better. Due to the unexplainable improvements in their patients' health, more doctors are calling to order Extendivite for themselves. Help Extendivite make your doctor a believer. Extendivite is available in capsule or liquid form for just $69.95 for a 2-month supply. To get started, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822. Or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
So here we fight all through the night, going at it now, it's tooth and nail, and it's time for me to set.
All right. We're back. Republic of Texas Radio. Hey, I'm going to hand the reins over to you for a few minutes. I've got a kind of a household emergency going on, Alan, and we've got 3 calls in the queue, Larkin, Texas, Andy, and Sherry. So give me a few minutes, folks. It's on you there, Alan. You can bring on Lark or whatever.
Okay, man, I haven't studied for this, but, you know, it didn't give me much time, so don't ask me that question. But, we'll go with Larkin, Texas first. Hello, my friend up there in Texas. Are you there? Hello, Lark. Anyone? Sam, am I on? Oh, okay. Yeah, sorry, you know. All right, yeah, you know. All right. Okay, well, we'll go to Andy real quick.
Well, hey, Alan. Good morning.
Yeah, good morning. I haven't seen you in about 5 seconds here.
I know it's weird. I just kind of walked into your bunker back here, and
No, hey, so we were talking a little bit earlier about Uranium One. I kind of wanted to add a conclusion to last week's show because we never got to what we were funding to as Bundy 2. So, I mean, what do we got? What is there left to talk about? That had Uranium One on it. That had Hillary Clinton in it. They had a whole lot of stuff going on there, and they localized it to a local situation. They took over a wildlife refuge place, sent the people home, didn't harm anybody, camped there for a little while. We had all kinds of fun and stuff. Not really, because the FBI was all around them and stuff, and they were hanging out there. And then we got Lavoie Finicum, you know. And this is all happening in eastern Oregon. You know, I mean, people who typically think of Oregon, they think of the whole coastline and Portland and all that stuff, but there's a whole another state over there, and they are trying to become part of Idaho. It's just weird that, you know, this led to a whole lot of stuff, Alan. What do you think about that?
Well, first off, I will say, do not talk bad about Saint Hillary. You know, she is a goddess. No, Andy, and you know, and since that whole, you know, Malheur thing and the Hammonds and all that, what has happened since then? Are they doing uranium? Is Uranium One in there mining uranium out of the ranch now? You know, it just dropped. You know, it's like in this whiplash world, it's like, what's going on out there now? Was it stopped, or is it just progressing with a different name?
Yeah. And, you know, last week we ran onto another area there with Mr. Kopech to the Palestine. That kind of dominated the show. So just a little bit more news. They actually dammed up the river where the spill was and stuff, and to avoid, you know, the chemicals from getting down. And then mysteriously, the dam broke. Go figure.
And once again, Andy, listened to a show, and the guy was talking about different densities of different chemicals. Some of them float on the surface. Some of them go down to the bottom and get down into the sludge where the catfish and everything else live, you know, the clams and the mussels, you know, in the rivers that everything else eats. How do you dam up the Ohio River and stop all the water that's coming down that river? Ain't possible, folks. You know, if it's a constant flow, it will flow over or under or whatever around that dam. You know, you can't just dam up a river indefinitely. So that doesn't even make any sense in my world.
Well, hey, but they didn't dam up the Ohio River. They were damming up waterways that were leading to the Ohio
River. That were feeding into
the river. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And then, well, apparently there was a major creek that was right there, and they dammed it up, and it, I mean, I saw pictures of it. It literally, while you were on the radio, I was watching a video, and because I wanted to talk about this. But they actually built this dam up, lots of rocks and stuff. Sure, stuff was still getting across. You're absolutely right about that. But then you could see where somebody just destroyed it.
And let me tell you this, my friend. Also, I've had a class called limnology and studied limnology, which is inland freshwater lakes, and, you know, and rivers and water systems. Kind of like our friend Dave Kopech, you know, I heard him say that word, and I hadn't heard that word in 30-plus years. But limnology is the study of inland freshwater lakes and rivers and creeks and everything else. And there are what are called recharge zones, you know, where this happened. I would because it was kind of like on the upper end of the Ohio River system. Is that a recharge zone for the, you know, is the ground, you know, does it percolate down through and get into the water tables down below where everyone draws their water out of the wells? I mean, so they dam it up. All right, so you stopped it. But are those poisons percolating down into the ground, getting into the groundwater that all the ranches and farms and a lot of, you know, people out there in rural areas draw their water from? What's it doing to them? Oh, so you dammed it up so it didn't get downstream near as far for a while. But what's it going into?
Well, the one thing here, Alan, the one thing that we can be very sure of is that they are killing us. And if people can really get a grasp on what's been happening to them, they'll understand that they've been killing us since we were born. They're trying to make our lives much shorter than it would be if we could just live our lives. They've been trying to kill us since we're born. Look at this. They nip tips of your dick off.
Andy, I was about to say that, my friend. It's like, yes. What? It's like, I'm sorry, folks. If your children are listening, take them away from the radio. But yes, I don't know what it's what life is like to live with my natural penile instrument. Because my parents made a decision before I was, you know, a few days old to clip the tip of it off, you know. I was circumcised, and I'm not even Jewish. You know, what the hell's with that?
Mm.
You know, what are they doing to us?
Absolutely.
Okay, I'm back.
Hey, Steve's here. All right, how you doing,
and
Steve
doesn't like this penile
talk. You guys went pretty far.
I don't like it either.
Talking about snip and clip and all this other stuff, and I had that now. With their non-smart toilet issue, that was really fun. But, you know, I'm done right here. And, Andy, I'll see you here in a little bit.
Okay,
about an hour or so. And we'll go do some stuff. We got Lark back. So let's we'll talk to you here in a little bit, Andy. But
all right.
Get back to the thing. Are you ready? One, two, hey, Lark in Texas. Welcome back.
Howdy, guys.
Hey.
Morning. You know, just as an aside, I knew a local guy at one time. I can't remember his name at the moment. This is about the time, of course, Waco. And you can still read his account on the internet. It's called Crime Scene Interrogatory. Crime Scene Interrogatory. And there you can read an independent account of what happened at Waco by someone who was actually an eyewitness who was there and who was not connected to big media. So that's as an aside. You know, regarding the Unabomber, or whatever it's worth to your listeners, there is a German documentary from 2003. It's called The Net. And the subtitle is Unabomber, LSD, and the Internet, which actually explores the backstory of Ted Kaczynski. Remember, his college thesis was Industrial Society and Its Future. I remember reading it four or five times when it was first published. Hmm. But what he's talking about is what this film talks about is the backstory of the beginnings of the Internet. And for anybody that's listening right now, again, it's called The Net. Unabomber, LSD, and the Internet. You can find it on any number of places online, YouTube, BitChute, etc. But I recommend it. I've seen that film at least four, maybe five, six times. And that's because there's so much fascinating information revealed about the things that we don't know about the birth of the Internet. But the fact is, the Internet and this entire culture was spawned by the people who won World War One and won World War Two. In fact, they won the so-called American Civil War.
Yep.
Today, Americans don't even realize it, but we are an occupied nation. We are living under military rule. And they don't give a damn about our health. Because prisoners of war and or slaves don't have any rights.
But Lord,
and you know what? In the future, my fervent prayer is that the people that are responsible for promoting this whole thing called the Internet will be hunted down like dogs. Because these are the bad actors that have destroyed this country and enslaved its people. And there are so many, literally millions of Americans who are actually enabling, aiding and abetting the occupiers, the conquerors of our country, and enslaving its people and harming their health. And so anyway, you know, you can listen to people like Dr. Martin Paul, P-A-L-L, Paul, P-A-L-L, on with Ingrid Castle last night. Next Friday, Amanjabi, A-M-A-N-J-A-B-B-I. He's going to be on with Chris Hinckley, Road Warrior Radio. But, you know, the evidence is going to finally emerge, and hopefully people will zero in on the real source of the problem.
Yes, sir.
Anyway, that's all I have
Hey, Lark.
I appreciate Lark, y'all.
You can call it a net, or they put it in your face. It's a World Wide Web. A net or a web, what's it used? It's used to entrap and ensnare prey.
Okay. Well, let's continue on. By the way, that the net that Lark was talking about, the Unabomber LSD and the Internet, is available online over at the Internet Archive, archive.org. If you want to see it, I'm definitely got it up on the screen. Probably take a look a little bit later.
And once again, folks, I will tell you that the smartest person I've ever been around, valedictorian in my high school class, a good friend of mine, was basically kind of like Ted Kaczynski, told me what the Internet was going to do to the world, which is why I've never had a computer, an IP address, none of this crap. And I'm an analog man in a digital world, and I see it very freaking clearly.
Sherry in Kansas, welcome to the show. Hello, how are you?
Hi, guys. Some of my favorite analysts.
I'm an analyst.
Yeah, well.
You can say that another way. You can call it an
kind
analyst,
of redneck,
which I'm not either.
You guys are still analysts.
Redneck analyst. There you go. I'll take it. What do you got going?
Get back to before the break, Alan, you were talking about all the propaganda when they brought in the COVID. And last week, what seemed to dominate a lot of shows I was listening to on alternative was the, it came from Wuhan. And personally, I think this is a red herring because I'm one of the, I lean towards the terrain theory. I don't think viruses are the cause of disease. They might be the result of your body trying to get over disease to get back to homeostasis. But the things we can't talk about are the terrain theory versus the germ theory. And remember, the few times it was mentioned, they never had... You know, these places, all these different states and everything, they never had a sample of the virus. It was computer generated.
There you go.
You know. But the other thing we can't talk about is the EMF causing bad health.
Yep.
That's verboten.
Hey, folks! You know, as simple as this is what Sherry just said. Take you have two plants that you have growing. Stick some water in a microwave, boil it in a microwave, get it up to boiling, let it cool down. Water one plant with a microwaved water and another plant with like natural spring water or something else, not tap water, but some other natural water, and see which one thrives and which one dies.
Well, Angry's show last night was about EMF, and she had an expert on, Dr. Martin Paul. The other thing is, you know how the England back in when they were trying to control China, and they flooded the country with opium, you know, and what are they flooding the country? This addictive stuff with the EMF and the, you know, how all these people, and it's not just children, are addicted to their smartphones, their rectangles.
Yes.
And, you know, the other thing we can't talk about is geoengineering and chemtrails.
Right.
And they're destroying our food, you know.
Right. Yeah. Oh, the alkalization of the soil, the forest die-offs. Not, you know, down here they call it oak wilt. You know, in the northwest they call it, you know, pine beetles. But you know, folks, That doesn't happen until a tree is sick and not vibrant and healthy in the first place. And yes, what they're dropping on us from the skies is changing the soil technology, the microbial content of the soil. And Dave Kopecz could talk about this, you know, on end. You know, this is environmental research, which I did some of, and I do understand it. I never got caught up to where I had to, you know, have research money coming in. So I've got the basics, and I've got a brain, and I can see what's happening.
Alan, they brought in, you know, part of Kansas I live on was prairie, and there weren't a lot of trees originally. But as farmers populated this land, one thing they brought in, and I guess the original was what we call hedge trees, but they're Osage orange, and they're from someplace in Arkansas where the Osage were originally.
Yeah.
And they're very rot resistant. That's why you call them hedge posts. You know, they make a lot of hedge posts, and they make a lot of railroad ties out of Osage
and
orange.
You find the right one, it makes a great bow because it's very strong wood. Yeah,
right.
Very, very tough. Yeah.
But now they're getting this, you know, and it'll take years for a hedge to rot once it's cut down. But the ones that are growing now, because they don't get fungus on them. But the ones that are growing, I see this thing is kind of a gray skull type deal, and it's really not rot. It's not fungus. But what the heck is it? I think it's from the chemtrails, personally.
And you're talking about changing the topography of the land, Sherry. You know, down here where I'm at in Texas, in central Texas, there used to be buffalo all the way down here until people started moving in, fencing off the land, and allowing, you know, these big grazing animals did not come across here, you know, and chew the pastures down. So it's not grassland anymore. Now we've got live oak and cedar and everything else starting to come in. And, you know, at one point in time, you know, because buffalo are not like forest animals. They don't, you know, they're not tree land animals. You know, they're open prairies, you know, with the grass and everything. And when the land started being fenced off, it allowed trees to start growing, et cetera, et cetera. And now, you know, because I dig in an Indian campground out here, and I find buffalo. I've got enough buffalo pieces. I could build my own damn buffalo. Except for you don't find many bones because they cracked the bones open and ate the marrow out of them. But buffalo teeth and like, you know, knobs, you know, knuckle joints, you know, knee joints and things like that. Yeah, I've got enough of them. I could build my own damn buffalo if I wanted to.
Yeah, and it's, I mean, the part of Texas that you live in, it's not grassland prairies like up here, is it?
Not quite, but it used to be more open range. I can even remember my grandfather talking about, you know, what it used to be like and how much it's changed since they started fencing it off and raising cattle and sheep and things.
Hmm. Hey, anyway, I'll let you guys go.
Thank you, Sherry, for calling in. Enjoy it throughout the week. You know, Dave in Nevada, how are you doing today? Yeah, it is Dave in Nevada.
Uh-huh. Yeah, can you hear me?
Yes, sir.
Yeah. Sure. I'm getting like a echo. Okay, there we go. That's good. I mean, I wish we were living in the days where we had what was the name that you gave him? Buffy the Cat. Buffy the Cat.
I'll just call it Buffy the Cat. I forgot the real cat's name. But
I wish we were living in the days of Buffy the Cat getting stuck in the storm drain. Those were good old days.
Yep.
But I wanted to comment on what you guys were saying about the internet. I remember when the internet first came out, like when it was dial-up. Like, you know, when it made that funny scratching noise, and I didn't.
Right.
No one knew what to think of it, and I kind of poo-pooed the idea. Like, I thought that it wasn't going to be a big deal. Like, oh, it's just like people are just like testing it out to see if it's going to be worth our time, and it's not really going to take off because people were still reading books back then and listening to like actual music. like on CDs and things like that. So I didn't really, it didn't really catch on until maybe like 10 years later, after dial-up. But I tend to agree with what you guys are saying, in that I actually heard one guy, I remember there was a guest on RBN, it was a while ago, and he was talking about how he knew someone in DARPA. And he said something very interesting that no one talks about that much. And he says the real reason why they invented the internet was to proliferate pornography.
Wow.
And it kind of ties into the idea of it being a web, because if you look at all the people who have been caught on, or they've been blackmailed or caught using certain websites, this ties into pornography.
Oh, yeah. I'll break in and say I definitely agree with
whether
that.
Whether it's legal or illegal.
Right. Right. You see, pornography, you know, that creates, you know, just having, you know, standard missionary sex with your wife, you know, was not good enough anymore. There, you start seeing all this perverted stuff. And once you start getting this perversion, no, my friend, this is perfect, because it's the breakup of the family unit and of normalcy, and creating this perverted transsexual LGBT whatever hell you know bestiality you want to add to it. No. See, once that gets into your brain, just having normal sex with your spouse is not good enough anymore. You want some, you know, you want to do it this style and that style, and you want to add a third person into it, and blah blah blah. So it gets more and more exciting, and they took one of our most basic drives to reproduce, and it's bastardized, and they use it. Yes, it's weaponized.
Yeah. Well, the reason why I bring this up is because people were. I remember when the internet was.
We lost something.
Yeah, his connection was
like
kind
prosperity.
Of sketchy there. No, there you are.
Like they. They thought it was going to bring in this.
Oh,
yeah, you're dropping in and out there,
Dave. You're flapping.
Hello.
Okay.
No, he brings up a very valid point. Yeah, pornography and we'll have callers call in and say, who owns most of the pornography industry? Well, they're basically
you know, Alan,
because
to add a little bit to what Dave was just saying. You know, sorry about that, Dave. You started flapping and we had to let you go, or you dropped or something. Maybe you're still there. I don't know. You know, 50 years ago today, Xerox came out with the first computer, Alan. Or it's not today, but it was pretty much 1975. And they had a mouse. They had a graphical user interface. It looks like Windows. It looks like Apple. It was a little box, like what we 50 years now. It had Ethernet, Alan, right? It's just like, and so now we're like, oh, look at all these amazing things that Xerox knew 50 years ago.
With the Neuralink stuff, they'll be able to project the computer screen on the inside of your eyeball, so you'll just see it on the inside of your eye. You won't even have to have a screen in front of you. It won't even have to be a holographic projection. It'll be projected into your damn optical nerve.
All right. Well, that's interesting.
Take care, Bo.
Well, thanks for everything, guys. We'll be back next week for Republican Texas Radio.
Paid attention to each little blessing in this life. Had a more intimate connection with the spirit world. Learned as a community and equally taught every boy and girl. The tree of life is us, my friends.
My name is John. I'm the founder of Blackout Coffee, and I started Blackout because I really love coffee. I've always loved coffee, and after traveling so much to Europe, South America, and trying so many different coffees that were so good, and every time I came back to the U.S., I was so disappointed with the coffee, so I figured that I had to do something about it. The biggest difference is really on the beans and the roasting process, how we roast it, and how fresh it is. The fresher the roast, the better the quality. Here I have like all of the coffee. It's roasted within 1 to 2 days prior to being shipped. So it literally gets to consumers' house within 3 to 5 days after being roasted. If you like coffee, you have to try ours. It's fresh roasted. It's one of the best beans that we can get, and you will definitely see the difference.
Visit blackoutcoffee.com and use the coupon code REPUB10. That's REPUB10.
You can't handle the truth.
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit republicbroadcasting.org today because you can handle the truth.